We live in a world full of choices. If you can see the screen there, your iPod, and what album you're actually going to listen to. Maybe you have a smartphone, and there's just so many choices on your smartphone. You're thinking, Gordy, that's a wee bit ahead of me. Smart TV, I don't fully even understand it yet. But even more choices on your television set. I used to, BBC One, BBC Two, ITV, and Channel 4, that was enough for me. But it's confusing sometimes. Every day in life, we just, you know, we switch on the TV, and what are we going to watch? There's a choice that has to be made. What cereal are you going to eat in the morning? When you go to the supermarket, what cereal are you going to buy? I think this photograph is actually quite scary. Just the choices that are there in life. You go to the chip shop, what are you going to have off the menu? Maybe in TV you like quizzes. Tipping Point is the new one that's kind of taken grip in our house. Or maybe The Chase. Maybe you like The Chase and you have all these multiple choice questions to answer. How are you going to respond to the Dark Destroyer if you're watching The Chase? And when we come this morning, and I didn't tee Hillary up, but as Hillary brought our Bible reading to us this morning, she actually just took us to where my thoughts were wrestling through this passage. When we come to the cross, there are so many responses and so many people that we read off. And if you like, at the minute, with a wide-angle lens, let's just look through the story very quickly. Verse 26 in the passage. It'd be great, again, please open scripture on your lap as we just step through the passage. As they led him away, they seized Simon of Cyrene, or from Cyrene, who was on his way from the country, and they put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. If you were Simon, coming from an African country, and a worshipper of God, a proselyte, not yet a Jew, but there's something at Passover that you want to be in Jerusalem, and all of a sudden you're just caught by the Roman soldiers. What are you thinking? Look at verses 27 and then verse 49. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. And then look at verse 49, again the reaction after the crucifixion, or at the crucifixion. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. So Jesus' followers, men and women, caught up in all that's happening here. How do you respond? The two criminals on the cross, verse 32 and verses 39 to 43. We'll look at that maybe closer in a little moment. But again there are two reactions in Jesus' death. Responding somehow, some way. The people, verses 35 and verse 48. The people stood watching, and the rulers sneered at him. And they said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." But also look at verse 48, when darkness had descended, when just something almost eerie had happened. In verse 48, when all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and they went away. That's a different reaction. The soldiers, verse 36, the soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." So the soldiers just cold and callous almost here. And then, though it's not a person, but it's a person who placed it there, verse 38, the sign that's above Jesus' head, there was a written notice above him which read, This is the King of the Jews. And it's Pilate who had placed that there. And in John 19, verse 22, when Pilate is kind of questioned about this, and the religious leader says, don't put that there, don't write that, don't say that. Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. So in the midst of all this chaos and pain and horror, Pilate is making a statement about what he thinks and who he thinks Jesus is. But he's not there himself. The centurion, look at verse 47, please. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, surely this was a righteous man. Surely this was a righteous man. And actually in the Matthew account and the Mark account, that statement is read like this. Surely this man was the Son of God, the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel. So this hardened centurion has a very curious reaction also in the midst of this scene. Allow me just for a moment. Simon of Cyrene, was his reaction confusion? Jesus' followers, their reaction was one of devotion as they stood at a distance and watched, and they traveled with Jesus in all his pain. The criminals, there was aggression, but there almost seemed to be from one of them devotion. From the people, initially there was antagonism, but then there was confusion as darkness fell and things just were strange. From the soldiers, there was just cynicism. Apart from the centurion, just another crucifixion. From Pilate, I think pacifism. He knew that Jesus was an innocent man. He wrote, or had the sign written, this is the King of the Jews. But he wasn't prepared to take that any further. He wasn't prepared to act on what he thought he knew to be right. For the centurion, there is realization. Surely this was a righteous man. Surely this was the Son of God. And although you're in church this morning, what is your response to the wide-angle lens of the cross? Would one of those words describe your heart this morning and your response to he who died on the green hill far away? Who is Jesus to you? Billy Connolly, bless him. In the Alpha material, there's this little quotation from him. I can't believe in Christianity, but I think Jesus was a wonderful man. I can't believe Christianity, but I think Jesus was a wonderful man. Who is Jesus to you and to I? In Matthew 16, Jesus asked the people, the disciples, his followers, a question. Who do people say the Son of Man is? He says, well, some say that you're Elijah and the prophets and John the Baptist. There's a whole plethora of different responses. And then Jesus really puts the finger and says, who do you say I am? How do we respond to Jesus? Peter responds with saying, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then curiously, Jesus begins to teach the people that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the religious leaders and be put to death. And on the third day, rise again. We'll come to that in a little moment. C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity, it's quite a lengthy quote. I'm just picking a few bits out of it. But C.S. Lewis says this, talking of people who are trying to figure out who Jesus is. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. Lewis said, that is the one thing that we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open for us. He did not intend to. You must make your choice. You can shut him up for a fool, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord. Wide angle lens, who is Jesus to you this morning as we look at the cross? But let's go from the wide angle to the close up. Verses 32 and 33, we read about a cross of rejection. In verse 39, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." Cross of rejection. Even in his very death, he hurls insults at Jesus and mocks him. Look at the second cross, and there's a recognition, a realization of who Jesus is. Realization of Jesus. "Don't you fear God? This man has done nothing wrong." But for this criminal, there's another realization as well. There's a realization of who Jesus is. This is an innocent man. He's being punished for what he did not deserve. We're punished justly. But there's a recognition of himself in that. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But he has done nothing wrong. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Cross of rejection. Cross of recognition. And in verse 43, a cross of redemption. As Jesus hung on the cross for you and I. And again, it's very interesting. In the passage here, there are three statements of Jesus from the cross. Look at verse 34, please. Verse 34, where Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." On the very cross, Jesus chose to love. On the very cross, Jesus chose to love you and I. "Father, forgive them." Another statement in verse 46, that Jesus chose to die. Because we read, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he said this, he breathed his last. And it's like Jesus almost chooses the moment. Some of the commentators would say he almost chose the moment to let the breath pass from his body. So Jesus chose to love. Jesus chose to die. And as we've already referred, in Matthew 16, verse 21, Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And we read then that from that time on, from this time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Jesus chose the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. In effect, Jesus is saying, I don't really want to go through this. This is painful. This is horrible. But I am willing for the salvation of humanity. He chose to die. And in the midst of the story with the two thieves, the two criminals, he welcomes the helpless. In verse 43, Jesus, other words from the cross, says, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Could this thief do anything to make himself right before God? Not a chance. He was hopeless and helpless, hanging on a Roman cross, one of the most barbaric forms of death. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. It's like he knew his heart. Seventeen years ago, my younger sister passed away quite suddenly, within 2 weeks. And Rosie had drifted from her faith. And as I sat with her one day in the hospital room, holding her hand, she said, Gordy, Jesus loves me, this I know. And then I screwed up. Jesus loves me, this I know. And then, forgive the French, but this is verbatim, then I screwed up. And she was in a sense saying, I'm a sinner, but Jesus loves me. And I believe in that statement, there was repentance and there was acceptance in Christ. Today you will be with me in paradise. How do you respond to the cross this morning? Who do you say Jesus is? Well, the wide-angle lens of the multitudes that we've read about and thought about this morning, is your response confusion, devotion, or just pacifism? Yeah, Gordy, just come to church. Or is there heart devotion to the one who gave his life for us? As we come closer to the cross, what is your response? Rejection? Probably not, because you are here in church this morning. A recognition of who Jesus is, or falling on the redemption that he offers and just living in the grace and mercy that Christ brings to us as we step into this Easter week, as we follow Jesus to the cross, what is our response? And it's like with the children, I can't give you that answer. That answer is in your own heart. So as we think this morning about choices, we want to respond, just maybe the band would jump up. We want to respond to Jesus. We're going to sing, You Chose the Cross. Because when we think about choices and how we respond, it's incredible to think that Jesus chose the cross for you and I. And then we're going to sing together, King of Kings, Majesty. If the children want to slip out, I always get this wrong, if the children want to slip out as we sing just now, and then as we sing King of Kings, Majesty, we quietly keep our seats and respond to the Lord's great love for us as we think about his life given for us. We worship God in our offering as we sing King of Kings, Majesty.